This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, our final hour broadcasting here from the Republican National Convention, and we have all kinds of Ask Dr. Jesse stuff this hour. We are going to hit a story out of the AP that I want to talk about really briefly. We do have an author, Charlie Spearing, coming on about 20 minutes from now. He wrote a book on Kamala Harris. We thought it might be appropriate to get an inside view of Harris being as how she might very well be the Democrat nominee soon. Sorry, I'm too excited about it. I think it's hilarious and it's awesome. Before I get to the Ask Dr. Jesse stuff and Charlie and everything else, I do want to talk about this just really briefly. Kindness is not as cut and dry and easy to see as a lot of people pretend it is. People pretend that allowing someone to walk all over you is kind or nice, or speaking really softly or sweetly, they think it's kind or nice. I've used this example before. I'll use it again. It's a great one because it's going to apply to immigration in this story that came out of the AP today. If I just blow up, I get 350 pounds, hugely fat. I just let myself go in every possible way. And I go visit my folks, my mom, my dad. Love them both. And I walk into that house, and my mom comes up to me and says, "Oh, you are so handsome. You look better than you've ever looked. Gosh, you just look great." And my dad walks up to me after that and says, "You are a disgusting tub of goo. You're going to die of a heart attack. Get your fat butt to the gym and put the cheeseburgers down." Let me ask you, who was more kind to me in that moment? Who was nicer? The normal view we have as Americans is, well, mom was the nice one. I say dad was the nice one. Dad was the one trying to save my life. There's this way of thinking when it comes to immigration. And don't you dare think this disease only exists with the communists. We know what the communists want. They want the border open. They want the country full of rapists and criminals to flood the healthcare system, flood the education system, and bring the place to its knees. We know all that. Set that aside. We're not talking about them. I'm talking about the various factions on the right. For as long as I've been alive, many, 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 many people on the right have done, what do they call themselves? Immigration squishes. Well, I mean, we should have a more secure border, but it doesn't mean we have to be harsh about it. Well, we should be. We should care for these people. I mean, they got here from Guatemala. It's terrible down here. The pupusas went bad, and now they're here. That's how people talk. And people think they're nice when they say that. Every single time you hear someone say it, and if you've said it yourself, you're guilty of this, you think it's the nice thing, don't you? It's the kind thing. Well, yes, we live here, and I kind of want them to be able to come here, too. I mean, I don't want to ruin the country. I'm not a dirty communist, but I want them to be here. I want everyone to experience the beauty of America, so we shouldn't be too harsh, right? And then there's someone like me. When I say I want, forget 50-foot, I want a 200-foot-high border wall. I want a moat. I want machine gun nests. I want every person who shows up at the border to be turned around at gunpoint if necessary and sent back exactly where they came from. Don't even give them a bottle of water. Turn them around and point them south and say, "Go away." And when I say things like this, people think I'm mean. I'm harsh. It's over the top. I'm going to read you here's a headline for you, and I'm going to do you the courtesy of sparing most of the details for you because I know your kids listen, people listen with their kids, and we love that. This will always be a show you can listen to with your family. Headline, this is from AP. Housing provider for unaccompanied migrant children engaged in sexual abuse and harassment. If you choose to read the story, And I'm not necessarily recommending that you do so. I really wish I hadn't, to be honest. You will hear a story of horrors. Children, illegal children, living a life of hell. My boys just got back from their grandparents. They have two sets of grandparents who love them. They spent their time shooting prairie dogs and whitewater rafting and fishing. They learned how to fly fish this morning. Now that they're home, my wife is making them banana bread, and they'll be tucked into their beds and know that they're loved, and I'll be home to see them tomorrow, my little buddies. And that's how children should live. The kids in this story are 8 years old, 10 years old, 11 years old, living in hell. What's happening with the illegals crossing our southern border is so horrific. What's happening now is the largest slave trade in the history of the world by orders of magnitude. You realize that? Numbers-wise, it's not even close to any other time or place in human history. We are bringing women and children en masse across this border, and their lives are hell. The stories I've heard, you remember I've told you stories on this show about what they do to the kids and the women, and it's on film, and it's the most gut-wrenching thing in the world. And I want you to know something. If you're one of those, I'm an immigration squishes, it's your fault. You're not kind. You're not nice. You're not empathetic. You're not a good person. You, because of your pathetic, pathetic naivete, you are the one paving the road for the living hell that these children live in. There is no kind, nice, or empathetic way to allow people to illegally enter a nation. It's not kind. It's not nice. It's facilitated by the most despicable people on the planet. People who are monsters, demons in human form. They are the ones who facilitate and aid any kind of illegal immigration en masse into a nation. And if you think that they should be dealt with kindly, any of them, you are the one who has enabled all of this. And it sickens me. People think I'm mean. I'm actually the nice one. I'm dad telling you, you're too daggone fat. Go to the gym. I'm the one trying to save your life. I'm the one trying to save these poor freaking women and children from living a life of hell and dying early. It saddens me to no end to know. Like I mentioned, my sons, James and Luke. I love that they have a life where they're surrounded by loving people. Two sets of grandparents who are still together who love them, and mom and dad together who love them. That's a rare gem today. And I tell them how that's the reason they're blessed. Nothing else. That's the reason they're privileged. They're blessed. To know that there are boys and girls the age of my little buddies who, as we speak, as you're listening to the sound of my voice, as we're talking, you and me, they are going through things that you don't even want to imagine. I can't stand it. And I can't stand this false sense of kindness and niceness and empathy that we've brought into this country. It just saddens me and sickens me to no end. I just want to remind you of that a lot of things sound nice. And you sound like a good person. You sound really, really kind. After all, you're in front of your Democrat friends, and you don't want to sound like a barbarian, right? Those best intentions have already paved the road to hell for more women and children than you can possibly fathom, and it's freaking awful. All right? All right. Before I get to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions, we're going to bring in Charlie Spearing. He wrote a book on Dome, on Kamala Harris. Remember, it's not outside of the realm of possibility that she's the next president of the United States of America. You realize that? Who is this woman the woman who very well may be the Democrat nominee by Monday, or I take that back, it'll be August, but she might be the nominee soon. You never know. We'll talk to him in a moment. Before we talk to him, I'm going to talk to you about, speaking of real kindness, empathy. You remember the story of Christopher Chambers, right? Christopher Chambers was that Navy SEAL. He was one of those Navy SEALs who went into the water, 8-foot swells over there around Yemen, and lost his life. And he had a wife and a daughter, a young daughter. And they got a knock at the door that you can't even imagine. And in fact, we have friends of the show who know both families of both SEALs who passed, and just they're heartbroken. They're devastated beyond belief. And you know who didn't forget about them? It was Tunnel to Towers. Tunnel to Towers, they can't bring Christopher Chambers back, but they did provide his wife and young daughter with a mortgage-free home. Is that a dad? Is that a husband? No. But my goodness, talk about easing a burden at a time of devastation. That's where your $11 a month goes. You know that? Donate. 11 bucks a month. Just sign up to give it automatically. You won't even know what's gone. T2T.org. T2T.org. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and everyone has seen the news. We've been talking about it for over 2 hours now, on top of everything else about Joe Biden potentially, I want to make sure I put that out there, potentially dropping out. And then the rightful heir, we don't know whether this will work out this way or not, but the person who's going to inherit the donor money is Dome, Kamala Harris. And people don't, even though we don't like her, everyone knows they don't like her, they don't truly understand the depth of how incapable this woman is of anything at all. And Charlie Spearing joins me now. He wrote a book. This is a book. It's blurred by Tucker Carlson, all these guys. It's called Amateur Hour, and it's about Dome. Charlie, you wrote it. I didn't. How in the world did this woman get to the freaking White House, being as how she knows nothing?
Well, first, before I start talking, I got to put on my sunglasses.
Well, obviously. Yes, sir. See, Charlie's on the program. See?
That's the way to do it.
Daggone
right. If you're going to be up at all hours of the night and all hours of the morning, then let's put on some shades.
Daggone right.
These lights are pretty bright, too, Jesse.
Not for me. Not for me or you. Look, it is for everyone else, but not for us.
That's right. That's right. Well, yes, when I sat down to write this book last year, I was thinking, hey, how is it that we have a woman who there's a very realistic chance of her becoming the 47th president of the United States, and yet most people don't know that much about her other than, you know, the first three years and her word salads and sort of her laugh and her awkwardness in the first 3 years of the vice presidency. And so that's why I sort of sat down and started researching her background. And, well, what a lot of there is for readers to understand about a woman who could very easily be the 47th president of the United States.
Okay, so I want you to explain that to me, because it dumbfounds me that she really can't speak about anything with any amount of detail or genuineness at all, even personal things. Like, you couldn't ask her favorite meal and get a decent answer, let alone policy questions. How could she rise to be vice president? She came up through California. A friggin' senator from California is a big deal. Yeah. AG of California is a big, big deal. What? How?
Yeah, I think a lot of Democrats were surprised, you know, that she definitely has these, she definitely, when she does have these casual moments, at one point she starts talking about gumbo. There's a great clip out there of her discussing her love of gumbo, but for some, and you know, laughing at the same time that she's talking about it, and you really have a hard time believing that her favorite food is gumbo. Mm-hmm. But she definitely gives a ring for it. Look, it's a product of the one party system in California, right? When you have a one party Democratic Party running the whole state, you don't necessarily have to convince the voters that you deserve to be elected. You have to convince the donors. And out in California, it's a perfect blend of wealthy donors, wealthy business people, the celebrities, and then the heiresses and heirs of all the wealth out there. And then when it comes to the bottom, it's the Democratic Party. You have to convince the party officials that you belong on the stage and that you belong there. And I think that's a big reason why she moved up. Also, she wouldn't be anything but a you know, a humble prosecutor in Alameda County, California, if it wasn't for her relationship with Willie Brown. And that's really where the book kicks off in full force.
Oh, please do tell. Willie Brown. Huh. How did that all come about?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, in every online comment section or on every social media network, when you talk about Kamala Harris, immediately comes up the name Willie Brown. And a lot of people don't think that's fair. Certainly Kamala doesn't like talking about it. But that's how she kind of moved into high society, is when she was, an Alameda County prosecutor, she started dating Willie Brown. She was 29. He's 60. He's running for mayor of San Francisco. So he continues this relationship with her, and people like, you know, Willie Brown is technically separated from his wife, Blanche. They don't live together anymore. They don't spend a lot of time together. And Willie Brown had the reputation of being somewhat of a playboy, always having girls on his arms as he walked around the halls of power and all the fancy receptions and, you know, in between the different business and celebrity events. He always had a girl hanging on his arm. But as he's running for mayor of San Francisco, he picks up Kamala Harris and starts having a stable relationship with an adult woman. And the gossip columnists took great notice of this. You know, the gossip columnists of San Francisco are perfect, you know, because they're automatically start buzzing about this new girl in Willie Brown's life and whether or not they're serious. And that's a big part of what kicked off her career of being a socialite, right? All of a sudden, she's being led into all the different areas of power that Willie Brown moves comfortably in. And he's basically teaching her how to act in those situations.
Okay, so explain this to me, Charlie. Again, we're talking to Charlie Spearing. He wrote this book, Amateur Hour, highly recommended. It's about Dome. Okay, so you say it's a one-party rule state, and obviously you're correct about that. But there are a bunch of Democrats who want to be the senator in California. There are a bunch of Democrats who want to be the AG in California. This woman sucks. I really wish I put that differently. This woman is not capable. She's not capable of speaking well. She's not capable of relating to people. How does she leapfrog all of them? Is it just the Willie Brown story?
Well, the Willie Brown story introduces her to the socialites, right? And everybody really likes how she acts in person. She's charming. She's young. She smiles. She laughs. You know, people actually like her laugh at this point. And so a big part of it is she showed up and took out a progressive prosecutor. The district attorney of San Francisco, Terrence Hallinan at the time, was a true progressive prosecutor. And a lot of people did not like what he was doing because crime was rising, homelessness was rising way back in the 90s. And so there were drug problems. And so she launched her first campaign running to the right of this sort of leftist prosecutor, and who was, you know, kind of aging out of the job and losing respect from the elites in San Francisco. Her campaign slogan was, let's not be smart on crime let's not be tough on crime or weak on crime. Let's be smart
on crime. Oh, yes, of course.
So you get that slogan going, you run a little bit to the right, and she spent a lot of time ripping this progressive prosecutor as not caring about women, not caring about children, not caring about immigrants. And she ended up winning the race, and with the help of Willie Brown, not on the podium, right? She's trying to distance herself from Willie Brown and ultimately throws him under the bus at the end.
Of course she does.
Hello, Willie Brown's over. He's a loser. I'm here. But Willie Brown was always there behind the scenes helping her raise the money, and that's how she got all the money.
The book is Amateur Hour. He's Charlie Spearing. Thank you so much, my brother. I appreciate you
very
much. You
bet. It's great to see you in person.
I want to tell you about Pure Talk. I want to tell you about not spending your money with a company who hates you. That's a very, very, very difficult thing today because of corporate America is such disgusting, rotted filth. How do you avoid it? And sometimes it's impossible, right? But with your cell phone, there is no excuse. We have no excuses. Your cell phone is easy to switch. It takes 10 minutes on the phone with Pure Talk, speaking to an American. Your bill gets cut in half. They're on the same 5G network, so you don't have to worry about dropping calls or anything like that. Their CEO is a veteran. Switch. 10 minutes on the phone. Everyone has 10 minutes. Pick up your phone. Dial #250, say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. That saves you an extra 50%, all right? Let's do some Ask Dr. Jesse questions en masse. Next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
Why don't you shut up, Chris? It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Sorry, Chris and I were having a nice conversation off air about food. In fact, I got this email. Hey, Jesse. By the way, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Jesse, I saw this morning that you wanted Mexican food in or near Milwaukee. Go to Racine. There's a few fantastic Mexican restaurants there. Okay. I'm going to level with you right now. It's just you and me talking, all right? I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I got to experience it. Certainly, iHeart did it up to the max. I'm glad I'm here. All right, I just want to emphasize that. I'm glad I'm here. But I'm so hungry. I'm just starving. And I know you think to yourself, you're probably thinking, ah, Jesse, you got all of Milwaukee, or go up to Racine, or go grab this, or go grab that. I can't properly explain to you how difficult it is to move around, because it's not like it's a building that's locked down. It's several city blocks are locked down with fencing, concrete barriers. It's not like I can knock off here and go just go to Racine. I could, but then you have to set aside 20, 30 minutes at a security checkpoint getting back in. And it's not like I can leave here and just order a pizza, because that's really what's on my heart right now. I just have pizza on my heart. I can feel it in my soul. And I haven't had any. There's this little pub in the bottom floor of the hotel we're staying at, and it's really not bad. It's not, and the people are wonderful, because it's freaking Wisconsin. But I've already eaten everything on the menu, and I'm so tired of it. I just want some queso or some pizza or something else, and I haven't had anything. And then Jewish producer Chris is being horrible about it. Every time he ordered from my favorite Mexican place, and he got my favorite tacos, and him and producer Michael were rubbing it in my face yesterday that they've been eating like kings, and so I'm struggling right now. Look, I'm struggling, all right? And no, by the way, I'm not going to order Mexican food in freaking Wisconsin. With all due respect to Wisconsin, I'm from Texas. If I'm not in Texas, California, Arizona, or New Mexico, I do not order Mexican food. They tried to get me to do this last time I was in New York City, too. And I love New York City, and I love the food. Don't tell me that's Mexican food. You don't have enough Mexicans. Jesse, please help me understand why why states like your native Ohio can routinely vote Republican for president, yet simultaneously vote for a dirty commie like Sherrod Brown for Senate. All right, this is a very interesting question. That's why I wanted to bring it up. How does this happen? Ohio is a red state. They have a Democrat senator. And it's going to be Brown versus Moreno, Bernie Moreno, this November. And it's probably, I actually had a conversation about this in depth last night with some political people. That's a race we really need to win. And it's probably a coin flip. And that's taking into account this red, I hate to even use the friggin' term after the midterms, but this potential red wave year that we might have. It's taking that into account. They still said, man, Sherrod Brown, however you say his stupid name, that's tough to beat. He's very tough to beat. So I need to explain this. First, money. And this gets very, very uncomfortable, because normal people, regular people, don't like to discuss money in politics. It feels gross, right? It kind of feels dirty. It feels greedy. Oh, what is that politician putting it in his bank account? Money? No, it's not everything. You could win races without raising the most money, but money is so big in politics. Why? Well, that leads me to the second and more important point about guys like Sherrod Brown, or really races in general. It doesn't have to be about Ohio. Why some people win and others do not. One of the hardest things in the world is seeing things from a dumbed down perspective than the one you currently have. For instance, we'll keep it about politics, because that's what we're talking about. I say this a lot, but you are so much more informed than 99% of the people in this country. And I'm not even insulting them, and I'm really not trying to compliment you. You're a political person. You could be listening to anything in the world right now. You could be listening to friggin' jazz music if you had no taste. Instead, you're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You are someone who seeks information. Most people don't. the norms and normas. You can't put into words how unengaged, and I don't know if that was the word, but I went to community college. You can't imagine how unengaged they are. And me, it is a huge frustration for me and something my wife works on a lot. When we get with friends and family members who don't learn like what you learn, what I learn, they don't dig into things like we do, how I use more harsh terms, but how naive they are. They know virtually nothing. And these are mostly Republicans. You know, they're going, I'm voting Trump, this, that, but these people don't know anything about anything. You ask them who their two senators are, the two U.S. senators from their state, and they struggle. I did this the other night. They struggled. I said, hey, just curious, how many people here can name, we were sitting around a big table, how many people here can name both senators? And because I didn't want anyone to raise their hand, I just called on a couple people. Three people in, neither of them, none of the three could name both senators. The fourth guy finally could. You don't realize how far ahead of the normal voter you are, which ties back to money, which ties back to guys like Brown as a Democrat winning in a Republican state. He knows how to spend his money. He knows how to message himself. A great example of this is actually, forget about that, we'll go to Montana, my old stomping grounds, where I graduated high school, Montana. John Tester is a senator up there. He's up for re-election this year. Hopefully he loses. That's one we need to win. But how does a guy like Tester, a freaking dirty commie, get elected in a red state? Montana's a red state. Now, it's not as red as Alabama, but it's freaking red. How does this happen? Well, he knows who he's talking to. He runs ads. You can go look at his ads. I'm sure they're available on YouTube or wherever you get them. He runs these ads. He's got a shotgun in his hand. Hey, I love Montana, these mountains, and I go pheasant hunting, and I know how to ride a horse. And you should know that there have been years where John Tester didn't even have a hunting license. So he has no relation to any of this stuff at all, but he knows exactly how to market himself. Never underestimate the power of marketing. Marketing is a big, big, big thing. He knows branding. He knows marketing. He knows how to appear non-threatening, and he knows how to appear Montana. Go look at Sherrod Brown's articles. Go look at the ads he runs, and he will be running in Ohio. Is he going to run, hey, I'm a card-carrying, dirty communist, and I believe every baby should be aborted full term? You won't see any of those ads in Ohio. You're going to see a lot of ads that look Ohio. Hey, it's me. It's Blue Collar Brown. I know what you're like working in the factories. I used to work in a factory myself. It's look, Joe Biden's done it forever. What's he done? This is a political animal who hasn't worked a day in his life in 40 years. And what's he run as? He still did it as president. What's he run as? I'm Scranton Joe. Just hard scrabble Scranton Joe from a Rust Belt town in Pennsylvania. And my daddy worked the coal mines, and so did my son. He died in those coal mines. He's done that so successfully because it works. The things we see out of these politicians that make us sick to our stomach, they're effective. And that's how somebody like Brown, that's how some Democrat gets elected constantly in a red state like Ohio. That's exactly how it happens. All right. All right. We still have, gosh, I'm going to get to as many of these as it's humanly freaking possible. They ended up stacking up on me. I swear I'm going to mix some of these into next week's show because we ended up having so many guests and so many things going on that there are way too many Ask Dr. Jesse questions that I didn't get to. But in this last segment, I'm going to churn and burn through as many of these as humanly possible. So that means it'll probably be one or two, but I can't help it. That's who I am. Look, I took my chalk today, so I'm ready to go. I don't care how late it is at night. I'm fired up and I'm ready to go. My T levels are fine. Guys, how are yours? Shoot, I've been taking chalk for two friggin' years. I can't imagine what mine are. It's probably why all my hair's falling out at this point. My T levels have probably reached an unhealthy level. Would you like to feel like $1 million, energized, even at the end of the day? You know, start taking some natural herbal supplements and watch your entire life improve. Watch your business life improve. Watch your marital life improve. Your parenting. Your life gets better when you feel better. That's just a fact. You ever talk to somebody who quits drinking and they talk about how much better every part of life is because they're not tired and feeling crappy all the time? That's how I would equate a male vitality stack or female vitality stack from Chalk. Honestly, it's like life changes for you. Go to CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse, see what they've got. Huge discounts on subscriptions for the lifetime of the subscription. Or you can call them, text them, I don't care. 50-CHOQ-3000. We'll be back.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse USA! Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. I can't believe how baritone my voice got. Wasn't that amazing, Chris? Aren't you impressed by that just now? Chris? Are you there? My headphones must not be working. I'm not hearing anything from Chris at this point in time. Anyway, it's our final segment, and then we're going to sail off into the sunset. Actually, I'm not sailing anywhere. We're just leaving Milwaukee, and then I'll be back on Monday for more Jesse Kelly Show. But we need to get to a bunch of Ask Dr. Jesse questions, which I have neglected because it's been the RNC, and it's been wild, and now let's dig into it. Swami, Kimberly Cheadle apparently thinks she should keep her job. What greater job failure could she have beyond an assassination attempt on a former president and presidential candidate that was 99.99% successful? Well, again, there's a reason they talk like this.
Does the president have confidence in the Secret Service director after Saturday's failures?
I have 100% confidence in the director of the United States Secret Service.
Of course he does. Kimberly Cheadle doesn't view her job as protecting Donald Trump. Doesn't view her job as protecting Joe Biden. She's part of a corrupted organization, one that she has corrupted, because the Secret Service has traditionally been an amazing organization. But of course, the dirty commies took it over and they corrupted it. And now, as we've talked about all week, the purpose of the organization is the protection of the organization. It's not the protection of Donald Trump. It's not the protection of Joe Biden or Pelosi or any of them. The purpose of the FBI is not to solve crimes. Ah, we got to track down these guys or those guys. Though, yeah, they do those things on occasion, but the highest purpose of the FBI, if you were to hook up the leadership of the FBI to lie detectors and ask them, they would view their highest purpose, their number one priority, is protecting the FBI. And this goes down the list of every single corrupt institution. They now only exist to protect themselves. You look at the Secret Service and you understandably think, wow, surely their highest priority is keeping people alive. And you would be correct. That's what it should be. But that's not what it is. And that's not how they view themselves. I want to remind you again, Christopher Wray, right after he was appointed and the FBI was catching all kinds of flack for all the dirty crap they pulled on Trump the first time. And he was asked, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about that? And he said, he essentially laid it out there. I've got to go find the quote. Hey, my job is to protect the FBI. That's how he views himself. Hey, Jesse. My daughter hit me up and said she was angry at her husband. Ooh, she was pretty upset. And of course, I asked why. She explained that she sent her husband to the store to get a few things, including a bag of chips from a pretty well-known company. They were having subs for supper and wanted chips with it. When he returned, she looked for the chips, but he bought locally made salted tortilla chips. She was mad and felt disrespected. I took his side and said, look, at the end of the day, you wanted something that crunched and was salty and your sub doesn't really matter. He got the job done, so on and so forth. Am I wrong in my analysis or should I have taken her side? Well, here's what was wrong. It wasn't necessarily you, and it wasn't necessarily her demand of the chips, and it wasn't necessarily her husband bringing home a different bag of chips. What was wrong with all that is she aired her grievances with her husband out to you. Let me give you the best lesson I was ever given in life, especially for married couples. The best lesson ever. You never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, put your spouse in bad light to somebody else. You don't get with your boys in golf when your wife makes you mad and complain, ah, she burnt dinner last night, she's useless. You don't call your daddy or your mommy or your sister because he stayed up too late and had too much beer. Daddy, guess what he did? That is not done. The arguments, and this, look, this sounds like a young couple is what it sounds like. It's a young couple. They need to argue, fight about the stupid chips with each other, and leave it in-house. In-house. This is the day and age, especially in this social media era, where people think everything has to be public. People will break up with their boyfriend, and all of a sudden it's on Instagram. People will get fired, or they'll quit from their job, and the next thing you know, it's a 2,000-word Facebook post about why their employer is terrible. People will complain about every single thing online. Keep things in-house. There's something to be said for keeping some crap to yourself. Menu Whisper. I found a recipe online which claimed to be a Jesse Kelly burger recipe. I just want to say this. Most of the Jesse Kelly burger recipes you will find online are scams. They're not actually the Jesse Kelly burger. This is one of those really weird things that it got popular enough that now people spoof it. Just make sure, if you don't hear it out of my voice, and there's video of me right here on the First TV. The First TV has like a 5-minute video up of this online. It's available. I'm sure it's on YouTube. Matt, is it on YouTube? It's on YouTube. If it's not me and my very handsome face telling you the burger recipe, assume it's a freaking lie, okay? Anyway, the guy said, what do you think the future of the military is on its current trajectory? Well, on its current trajectory, and this is something I live in constant fear of, on its current trajectory, a lot of people are going to die. The good people. The boys on the ground. That's what keeps me up at night when I talk about all the filth that's happening inside the military. The people who will pay is the troops themselves. Our best guys, man. Our best guys. They're the ones who will pay in the end. And it's got to be fixed. And again, this goes back to something we were talking about earlier. It can't be nice. It cannot, under any circumstances, be nice, kind. We can't try to do it the right way. If Trump gets elected in November, Lord willing, he will go into the United States military with a battle axe and start firing generals and admirals so fast it'll make your head spin, or we will not save it. Every time the communists take over, they purge the government of people who are even slightly hostile to them and fill up the government with allies. And every time Republicans take over, they don't do that. They try to do it the right way, the kind way. After all, he's a general, of course. Well, look at this guy. They try to do it the right way, the kind way. And with that, we only lose. We only lose. It's got to be brutal, right? As brutal as living with pain every single day. Is there anything worse than that? Pain. Back pain might be the worst of them. Because it's just everything. You can't sleep. You can't sit. You can't stand. You can't. You do this. You ever do that thing where you're bending over? Oh, could you tell I've had back pain in my life before, especially when I was younger? Stop living with freaking pain every day when you don't have to. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It's natural. And you can be free of this daily pain that plagues you. You take it every single day, and your life gets better, your mood gets better, your sleep gets better, and it's not trash in your body. Take it for 3 weeks, every day for 3 weeks. Tell me how you feel. 1-800-4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. I will be gone tomorrow. I will be back on Monday. I cannot wait to be home and just with you and me again. You ready for that? I've enjoyed it, though. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast.